I feel like life ain't about what you can do, but it's what you can do for others. And that's how you can characterize a person.
Yeah.
So I've been like this since a kid. I've always helped in some way, try to help people. I was always putting people before me. Even to this day, the feeling I got from helping others is like, damn, like, man, I like doing this.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm serving my purpose.
It's a special place, not because of the walls or the weights or the decor, but because of the characters that hang out here. I'm Jake Waring, and my family has been empowering our community's journey to optimal health and fitness for generations. We are a family, and we help other families. And this is the pursuit of excellence, meaningful results, genuine connections, and having plenty of good laughs along the way. This podcast embodies all those principles. Join us each week as we share stories, insights, and tips that may help you reach your fullest potential in mind, body, and spirit.
Do you ever take a day off?
Saturday. No. Sunday.
You're supposed to take no days off, right?
Well, that means just like mind, body, soul, like everything. But Sundays I usually take off.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just family day.
Yeah, okay. I got you.
But yeah, it was killer. Only thing that changed was the 1,000 meters just because like I didn't want to get backed up. So
1,000 meter run?
No, the 1,000 meter row. We did 800.
Okay. How many rowers do you guys have?
Just two.
Just two? Yeah. Yeah. Do you have what kind of class? What kind of class size did you have?
Each class had like 8 to 10.
8 to 10. Cool.
So I just like put everybody in different groups and like make waves. Like just go from here. Once you go there, you go like next on the list.
Oh, you did like a circuit.
Yeah, like a circuit.
Gotcha. Okay.
Instead of everybody being at the same thing.
Gotcha.
Circuit. So it won't. That's why I just did 800 meters instead of.
Keyshawn said he loved it.
Yeah, he died. I had to yell at him the whole time. Like, man, come on.
I want to come work out with Big Key sometime.
You need to come on a hit day one of these days.
Yeah, when is that? Wednesdays?
Every Wednesday, yeah.
Wednesday? Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah, I'll join next time.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, my legs are so sore.
Honest, too.
I mean, I didn't... yours are?
Yeah. I didn't realize it until I started stretching today.
Man.
Because when I woke up, I was, like, fine. And then I started doing the knee pulls. I was like, oh...
Yeah, because Monday I come train with you, new legs, and then it was very quad dominant on Monday.
Yeah, it was.
And then Tuesday is my run day. I run to the soft sand, and as soon as I got on that soft sand, man, I felt it in my quads.
Yeah, that was the sand.
Just crazy. But, well, let me introduce you real quick, Giovanni Ruffin.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Take no days off, Jim.
Yes, sir.
You've been around for so you're gym owner. You're a high school football player, Hickory High School.
Yeah.
Played for East Carolina.
Yes, sir.
Played a little bit of time in the NFL, Seattle Seahawks. That's your identity, huh?
Yeah. I mean,
God's warrior, father of two. You got a lot of different ways you identify yourself.
Yeah. I feel like I'm just a servant.
Yeah.
I feel like I was here to help others and serve others.
Let me ask you this. So when, of your whole life, kind of thinking back, when was the time you were the most fit? I mean, let's go. Combination of physical, mental, spiritual. When was the time in your life where you were the most fit?
2015, 16.
Really?
Yeah. I was like.
Is that more physical?
Both. I would say both because I know. So like I was telling you before, when he was at the gym, like I didn't get an opportunity until, 5 years after I left college. And I was training, like I said, with my best friend. He lived in Seattle. He played for Seattle. And we was training. And like I said, one day he was like, hey, man, you can play in this league. You just need an opportunity. And he didn't really say nothing off of that. He kind of was like, hey. You got your opportunity to try out this day. And I was already training and on a regimen because, like I said, we was doing...
you were just training with him?
Yeah. And his regimen was super hard. But I was already over there for like 2 months, 3 months. So I'm just like... I was with him. I'm just going to train with you. I'll be your workout partner. Like, I didn't eat sugars. I didn't eat carbs after 12 p.m.
Uh-huh.
I was like... I was going through like... I was coming off of a depression. So then I finally start, what I'm saying? I was coming off of a depression and I was healing and I was in a good place. And he kind of brought me out there to get away from everything. And Like, I was just on it. And I was super ripped, like, super ripped. Like, I didn't even do a cheat meal. And then, like I said, I had the opportunity, tried out, made it, went to camp, man.
Yeah. I feel like greatness comes off after after setback a lot of times, right? You know, and that's like the time where you're the most fit was probably was coming after a little bit of a depressing time for you. What was that? What was kind of going on at that time period? Were you?
So I was for sure. I was in a long-term relationship that had kind of ended abruptly. My relationship with my sibling weren't too great at the time. And she had just like got married and stuff. So like, it was a big thing over that. Me and my dad weren't too great at the time.
Yeah.
So like, it's like things back.
A lot of relationships.
I'm trying to start a new business. And it was like, it was just so hectic at the time. I did a supplement line and it was just a lot at the time. Like, it was just so much going on in my life.
You're probably at that point too, after college, where you're kind of searching. I think a lot of young men, women are like that, where they're searching for what am I, what am I going to do?
This was years later. I kind of already found what I wanted to do. And like I said, I started a line, and then this woman stole a bunch of money from me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, she kind of took advantage of me. My clothing line went viral, like super viral. I made a lot of money and I didn't understand business at the time. So she stole a bunch of money from me, fleed away. And now I'm just trying to figure out and start something else again. And it's just a lot. Like, it won't not working, but it was just like, dang, I had to do everything myself before. She was kind of handling everything. I kind of just get paid and I just keep promoting. And
in during that time period, we kind of like, man, screw it, I'm just going to train.
Still didn't do that then. So that's when I started what I was telling you last time. I started doing online training. So like, a lot of my marketing came from Snapchat when Snapchat was super big.
Yeah.
And I would get like, you know, 50 to 80,000 views per story every day. So that's where a lot of my stuff came from. I was like, I would like vlog basically.
Oh, okay.
Throughout the day.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm doing workouts and I'm selling programs. And then from that, I took that money. Then I started the supplement line and I started pushing the supplement line and the programs.
Was this before you went into training camp?
This is before and after.
Oh, before and after. Okay. So during that whole time period.
Yeah. So even that even blew it up more.
Gotcha.
So it's like during the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, it's the, like, from January to about May.
Uh-huh.
I started January, but this happened, the Seahawks thing happened maybe in March. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Around draft out there. I forgot about that. February, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So I was already doing it. So it kind of like blew my training programs up even more. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So like, I was pushing that and I had a supplement line.
Gotcha.
Called Grind and Endure. I think I was just trying stuff. And I feel like business, it should be something like it doesn't feel like work and that you believe in. I didn't really believe in it.
What, the supplement line?
Because I don't really take supplements.
Yeah.
I was just doing something.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel it in my heart. And I was like, what am I doing?
But when you opened a gym, that was something you felt in your heart, because that's kind of when you talked about it, like, you serve people.
Yeah. I love, like, I feel like life ain't about what you can do, but it's what you can do for others. And that's how you can, you know, characterize a person.
Yeah.
So I've been like this since a kid. I've always helped in some way. Try to help people. I was always putting people before me, even to this day. I do feel like it's pros and cons to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
To some degree, if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of
other
people. And that's where the discipline of exercise and, you know, your routine with eating right and having a day off and having a family day.
Yeah.
You know, I think your gym's called Take No Days Off, but sometimes you need the discipline of taking a recovery day. Cause
for sure.
Sometimes I just, you know, today it's my recovery day, but I just want to.
Yeah. You want to
do something. Yeah.
But you just gotta,
but you have to have that discipline to to actually take a day off. Yeah. You know?
I think a lot of people like misinterpret it. Like TNDO, didn't start as a gym. It was a mantra. That's how I started it. I would just hashtag it on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, one day people was like, man, you should make a t-shirt. I'm like, all right, I'll make a t-shirt. I just like made a t-shirt and I had $300 in my name. I bought 100 t-shirts and they sold out in like 10 minutes.
Oh, really?
And that's how like everything else started. Like, I was like, oh, maybe I should be doing this.
Damn.
And that started another shirt. Probably a few months later, I ended up getting this big warehouse. I was selling that many shirts.
Is that where you are now or no?
No. I had one in Norfolk.
Oh, okay.
Right by, off military, by the police station. I don't know if you know where it is, but I had a warehouse out there.
Mm.
It was probably 10,000 square feet. And I just had, I was selling so many shirts. Like, I ended up having to go to a print shop that did contract printing with like the military because I was printing so many shirts and where they do it on demand. And then that's where I met that lady. But,
oh, okay.
Like, I was selling so many shirts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I made $1 million in like 5-6 months.
Yeah.
And I ain't never had money. I didn't know what to do. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah. And so your gym just started as a mantra.
Yeah. Right? Like my gym was like, just a mantra. It comes behind me just training myself. People used to always ask me to train. I never wanted to train people back then. It was just like, I was like, you can come along. Cause I always been a person like, I don't like excuses. I don't want to hear complaining. It's like, if you gonna work, let's work. You can join me. We can do it, but I never personally wanted to train people until I did like a camp chancellor. We did, like I said, we did these women boot camps called Form by Force, and I started helping people. And the feeling I got from helping others is like, damn, like, man, I like doing this.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm serving my purpose. And then that's how it came really from the boot camps. We was doing boot camps every month, and we got 200-300 women, like at every camp.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like,
yeah. See, I think it's hard to train people because you can't do the work for them.
Yeah.
Right. And people come to you and they're like, "Hey, get me fit." I'm like, I can't get you fit. Only you can do it. But what you bring to the table is that leadership, yeah. Right? You're someone who's living that motto, right? And people want to follow you, and you're pretty much the leader showing how it's done, right? You exercise every day, you spend time with your family, develop your relationships, eat good, drink plenty of water.
Yeah. And I'm still a work in progress, and I try to like be vulnerable also when people are like, look, I go through stuff too. And yeah. I do have down times too. And sometimes I do take steps back, but it's like realigning yourself. It's like, I go through all of that.
Yeah.
And I still got to find a way just to make it happen. It's like, I feel like sometimes they think as trainers, like we like these super, like we just.
Yeah. You like working. Like you like this. I'm like, man, it's tough for me too. Yeah.
Some days I don't want to come do this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, and it's super taxing training people all day. And then still having to train yourself. Like, people don't understand that.
That's energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot of energy.
My friend, she teaches yoga. She uses a term residue. So, you know, people leave residue on you. It's either negative. Sometimes it's negative. Sure. Sometimes it's positive. And sometimes people's energies rub off on you.
They do.
And it's a real thing.
And you got to keep the same kind of energy.
Yeah.
Regardless of how your clients feel, like negative or positive, like you can see, especially if you know a client and you've been with them a while, you can see their energy, how they come in. It's like, all right, something going on. Let me just try to, you know, keep them going in a positive mindset. I ain't going to say too much because I know this person. She don't want to talk today.
But we're all human.
Yeah.
You know, we all bleed.
Yeah.
And so sometimes, we're all the same thing. And, I think we got to know each other, I think around COVID time.
Yeah.
And, it was a little bit after, I can't remember when it was. 2021.
It was like in the midst of COVID.
Yeah. I gotcha.
You're like in the middle of it.
But, you know, over the course of my career, I met probably hundreds of different gym owners. And I think every single one of them, there was a point in their career where they were like, man, what am I doing? You know, and I think, you know, we talked about that too. Sometimes those early days, you know, even as a personal trainer, you know, it's this a little bit of the imposter syndrome you come into, and you're like, man, what am I, what am I doing? Am I doing it right? But, you know, it's just keeping one foot in front of the other, keep moving forward and keep working on yourself too. I think that's what gets you through.
Like I like tell my clients, just master the day, just focus on the day.
That's right. Yeah. Sometimes we look too far forward in the future. Like I want this, I want this, I want this. It's just, you got to look for right now, you know, what's the next couple hours.
But take one step at a time and master the day. And then you focus on tomorrow after today is done. But it's like, I feel like people, they try to look for the finishing product. And that's where their only mindset is focused on. Is like, they not even worried about the steps in between.
Yeah. Are we ever finished?
No. I feel like you should never be contented. It's like, it never ends.
Yeah.
Even like, if you're done, you had a great career, you're super successful, you still want to be a great husband, a great father, a great son, great friend. And it's like, it's always a work in progress. It never ends. And it's like, I feel like there's no final destination. And I feel like your mark is when we buried, and people at our funeral, like, he was a great human being. That's the ending. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you leave a lasting impression on people.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
That's our ending. And we'll never understand or feel what that is, what that end is. Other people will. And that's your legacy. I feel like that's what legacy is. It's like, but it sucks because we don't know how people will ever think about us. So it's like, while we're here, we got to take advantage of how we treat others and the things we do and the impressions we leave. And it's just like, no matter success, money, nothing matters. It all matters about how you treat others, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. How you make people feel.
How you make people feel.
What was what was your early days look like?
I was bad.
Really?
Yeah. I like turned my whole life around, bro.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, did you play sports when you were really young?
I did when I was young.
Are you tired of feeling sluggish, out of shape, and unmotivated? Introducing Xrcize, the all-natural solution for boosting energy, building strength, and improving mood. Now available anytime at Waring's Gym. Xrcize is a fast-acting, non-prescription solution, clinically proven to reduce stress, improve cardiovascular health, and sculpt your body, all with just 30 minutes a day. Side effects of Xrcize may include increased muscle mass, enhanced mood, boosted self-confidence, and a stronger heart. In some cases, users may experience the desire to wear smaller jeans and post-workout selfies. Talk to your loved one today to see if Xrcize at Waring's Gym is right for you. Join now and take the first step toward a stronger, healthier you.
Like I got a long story, but I did when I was young. I was always super athletic, but then like my mom was super sick growing up. And then my dad was in New York, so I didn't really have a father figure around.
Is he still up there?
Yeah, he still is. And I was just
Were you angry. Going back and forth?
I would just go up to New York in the summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, basically in the summer with my father for like a month or so. But like my mom was a full-time parent, like the whole time. And my mom, she had breast cancer, and then after that, she had lupus, which she still has now. And I remember at one time they said she wasn't going to survive, but she ended up beating it. And I was just angry. I was super angry. I had to grow up super young, taking care of my little sister. I remember I used to wake her up, get her dressed, do her hair. Mm-hmm. Bring the bus stop. Then I got to go to the bus stop. And I got to come home, help her with her work, do mine. Make sure she took a bath or a shower. Then I had to feed her and then I put her to bed. And then my mom worked 9 to 9.
Uh-huh.
And like, I feel like at a young age, I didn't realize that at the time. I thought that's how life was and I was supposed to do. And I was just angry. My mom was sick. I don't like people telling me what to do back then. I was just so angry, and I took my frustration out on everything in life. And it really won't until my junior year, all the way up until this point, I was having trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And it took up until my junior year in high school. I've always played in rec league and stuff. I never had the grades to play through from middle school
What do you mean you're bad? You were just kind of getting in trouble or just angry or not getting good grades?
Everything you can think of. Fighting, getting suspended, expelled.
Yeah, so you had a real short temper.
Yeah, everything you can think of. I was going through it as an adolescent. And then my mom got sick my junior year, super sick, and it was like...
I was junior year of college?
High school.
Or high school, okay, yeah.
And she said all she wanted, her only wish for me, all she ever wanted was just me to go to college and be happy. And she wanted me to, she was like, I didn't raise you like this, and I don't understand why you like that. I can't control that I'm sick. You can't control that I'm sick. And I just want you to go to college. That's it. Something switched in me. It was like, you know what? All right. I went to the football coach the following day. I got with every teacher. I went to tutoring. Remind you, up until this point, I never had the grades to play. I did everything possible, tutoring, staying after school, going with the coach, and I finally got the GPA. My coach always wanted me to play. I was always a bigger kid in high school. Even in my, I was probably my height now, but I was like 210 pounds. I was a big kid. I was super athletic. So I finally qualified. I played football. I killed in football. And I remember I had a coach named Coach Daly.
Did you play your junior year or just your senior?
This is my senior year. This is the end of my junior year. All of this that I was like, I had to qualify.
So you had 1 year of football.
Yeah. 1 year of football. I played 1 year of football. So I had to qualify at the end of my junior year to go into my senior year to play. So, and then I still ain't all the way. Then I had to go to summer school. So I was that. I'm like, you know, whatever classes I got to make up from the first semester. So I went to summer school to make stuff up. And I played, and that's why I'm so big on my kids now. It's like, you can't go to no college or school or no coach is going to want you if you don't have the grades. So I had to go to junior college. And then that was a reality check. That's when things like kind of changed for me. But I still went out there with the goal in mind. It's like, I got it. This is what my mom want, and I'm going to make it happen. But
what do you mean a reality check? Like, just it was tough.
Hardest thing I ever went through in my life. I tell people that all the time. And any kid that's been through it or going through it, it's going to be the hardest thing you ever know. Going to junior college.
Physically or just being away?
Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually is like the hardest thing I ever went through to this day. But
did you grow a lot from that? Yeah.
I think that defined me. Like that made me who I was going out there like on my own. I was 17. I didn't even turned 18 yet. And I had to find a way. I went to California, a place called Kalinga, California. The population is 500 people. And that's counting the prison that's there.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So we in a desert in the middle of a mountain. Again, the population 500. And that's the prison that's in that town.
Damn. That's it.
I remember pulling up.
What was that for?
Football.
Football. Okay. Yeah.
There's nothing.
How many guys on the team?
Probably 50 of us.
Okay.
And then the rest.
Small town, yeah.
A few people that live there and in the prison. You can see the prison from our dorms.
Yeah.
And I remember pulling up and I saw a team.
You don't want to get in trouble there, I guess.
No. I was ready to get out of there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I remember going there, and the first thing one of the players told me was, man, well, they don't send no guys to college from here. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I just came this far, and they was a losing record. They was horrible. And I still went out there with the mindset. I was like, I'm going to get out of here. So I remember going out there. I didn't even play until 5 games on there. The coach didn't even believe in me then. I had to prove myself. I finally played. I remember, and it's the game my mother came. The 5th game, halftime, I'm yelling at the coach. I'm like, let me try. Let me show you and give me an opportunity. He came back in the locker room, let me out. My mom's there. I scored 5 touchdowns. Long story short, I became All-American.
5 touchdowns?
Yeah.
In one game?
In one half. I became All-American in 5 games. So out there is a team that everybody wanted to play for. We played them. I probably rushed for 200 yards versus them. The coach gave me his card as we shaking hands at the end of the game. I called him the following day. I transferred there. Then I became the number two running back in the country. I had 30 plus offers, and that's kind of the story. Then I went to East Carolina.
Dang. I think it's one thing that's pretty cool is the fact that one day changed everything.
One day.
Just one day. Just that. Just, I mean, everything changes with that one thing. I think that no matter how hard things are, just that one, this, that change mentally.
It was one day and my mom saying something one time and it kind of just clicked. And she probably said something to me 1,000 times. And I was like, and of course, this situation, I was like, dang, I don't want to lose my mom, but I don't want her to, like, if it is her last time, I don't want her to remember this, like me just being this way.
Yeah.
That's like, what type of something? My mom did everything for me. So I was just like, no, I got to change something.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the clip.
And then, so you went, you got to that new school and then you end up getting recruited from there,
I was like, I was nationally ranked. I was number two running back. Every college knew about me at this point. So I went from not having no offers to 30. I remember in high school, Norfolk State didn't want to offer me. Who do you think was my first offer once I left there?
Virginia Tech?
No, Norfolk State.
Norfolk State. Oh, really?
That was my first one. Oh, okay. And then Tech, I had everybody, but Norfolk State was the first one.
Oh, really? Yeah.
When they said I wasn't good enough in high school. So, I mean, of course, I didn't even entertain Norfolk State at that time.
Like, oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, but I ended up going to East Carolina. It was the closest school. Uh-huh. That was Division One. That was like, I could nationally play.
Were you part of the team that beat Tech that one
year? Yeah, I beat Tech
man.
Twice.
Come on, man.
Yeah, I beat Tech twice.
Devastated me. I remember Brett Kassir was dogging me that day. Right? Yeah. And then, so when did you do the video with Eric Thomas?
I was after college, and that was during a lockout, NFL lockout happened.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. I was just training. It was like, and then.
What was the NFL lockout? That was, were you playing in the NFL at that time?
Or? I was leaving college.
You were leaving college. Okay.
Yeah. And so it's like the year I'm leaving college, I'm getting ready for a pro day and all of this, the NFL lockout happened. So I was just training. Like, mm-hmm. And my friend one day, my mom's house was the house that all your friends come hang out at, even if you're there or not. I had a garage with a pool table and all my friends would hang out there. So I would be coming in and out from training. And then he just started videography and he was like, hey, let me just shoot you all the stuff you do. And I was like, I mean, just don't bother me. Like when I'm training, I'm trying to be focused. So he just followed me. And then I would listen to Eric Thomas. This is before anybody knew who he was.
Yeah.
It was kind of like small, like he probably had 1,000, 2,000 followers. And I was just like, put it on this and make it for me so I can listen to it. Like, just get some motivation. He took that and put it on YouTube. He didn't even tell me.
Oh, he did?
He did it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he put it on Vimeo, not YouTube.
Oh, gotcha.
Put it on Vimeo. Somebody took it and put it on YouTube.
Yeah. There's one I just saw. I don't know if it's the same one. I think it's you training and him talking, but it's got 50 million views.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that was just me just being myself, doing what I did every day, and it kind of just resonated with people. Yeah.
I told you I remember watching that when I was, I don't know what year it was, but I was in a garage apartment, and it was about 4:30, 5:30 in the morning, and his voice was just kind of an inspirational voice, and I remember watching it and just being real motivated just by that.
Man, that video, I don't know, that video.
When was that? What year was that?
2011, I think 11, 12. Probably 11 and 12.
Right before your fittest.
Yeah. I mean, I was always fit.
Yeah, I know. But
like at that time, I wasn't taking like nutrition and stuff serious back then.
Really? Yeah. I always say guys, like younger guys in their 20s, they got like natural steroids.
Yeah. I was just naturally, my dad naturally like that. So I was just naturally built and athletic, and I just ate what I wanted and just trained.
Yeah, but you came from kind of an athletic background. Your dad was a bodybuilder.
Yeah,
right?
My dad was a bodybuilder.
Were you introduced to a gym at a young age, or not really?
I didn't like it.
Oh, really?
I think I hated it because I was around it, so, like, just seeing him all my life.
Oh, okay.
But I, like, took no interest in it.
Oh, really?
I was just naturally strong. I remember, like, when I was young, when I was in New York, he entered me some weightlifting competition.
Mm-hmm.
I won it. I never trained. I didn't lift until my junior year.
Really? So when did you, and I guess, you know, part of starting the gym, you know, you get into it because you're training and other people are training with you. But was there a point where you started becoming kind of like obsessed with kind of human development a little bit, you know, and because you're a smart trainer, you know, you're not super reckless in terms of the exercise you're prescribing to people. You understand mechanics. Was there a point where you were kind of you started looking a little bit more into what is actually kind of moving the needle in terms of exercise?
I think like a lot of that I got from training myself.
Just kind of understanding.
I think I put my body through the worst to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like because I trained with so many trainers, I was never the person to work out on my own. I would pay trainers and I would train with people. And I took things I like and I didn't like in ways I wanted to train and didn't want to train. I probably trained with 10, 15 different trainers around the world. I would even like some weekends go fly out of Atlanta and go train with a dude named Chuck Smith, or I might go to Arizona train with this guy, like, and I would just soak up stuff.
Be a sponge.
Yeah, and then I would learn stuff, and then I'd be like, why is he doing that? And I, like I said, I would take things from each of them as
kind of like a mad scientist a little bit. Yeah.
And just create my own way of doing things, or stuff they show me is like, right, I feel like it's a better way to do this without, you know, putting so much stress on the knee, or like, I would just do different things. And throughout the years I would learn, and I would just sponge, like kind of like watching podcasts, listening to different, like I might not say much but I watch and I see and I pay attention to everything. And when it comes, that's how I knew it was my passion. Cause it's like, people always like, how do you remember all of this and never write it down? I'm like, I don't know. I think God just kind of blessed me with it. Like I can remember, I know a lot of people got to do this to program. I can remember a whole program like in the back of my head. Yeah. I can show up 2 minutes before something and come up with something like this. It's just, trainers always ask, how you do that? I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it ain't nothing I can tell you I do. I think I just do it. I have no clue.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot to getting knowledge from different people. And I think one of the best things for my career was being able to get outside. I love coming training with you guys. And you come with us.
I love going out there.
It's cool too. Cause it's, you learn something different.
Different style too.
Yeah. Everyone has a different, it's the same thing though.
Yeah. But I'm
it's
just
all
like
the same principles, but it's a different methodology,
different ways of doing it. Like I took stuff like that. We just did the thing I posted today. And then, the little skier hunt, I did it one of my, I'm like, it's just different ways of doing stuff. And I've, like I said, I always like learning from other people, other gyms. Just like going over there is like it's like listening to a podcast to me. It's a real life podcast though.
Yeah. So speaking of which, on upcoming events, I got to throw an announcement out. We got July 4th.
Yeah,
we're going to do a community workout. Anyone's invited.
Yep.
I'm not sure how many people we're going to get, but I think we can get up to 100.
Yeah, then we're going to have a good crowd.
We got Coastal Plunge coming. They're going to set up a cold tub out front, which will be. So if you want to get in, he's got a 6-seater.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. That's one thing. The plunge.
You see all that coming in? The cold plunge, yeah.
Like I'm always, you know, it's crazy. I'm always on my athletes and members about like recovery, especially stuff like that. I think ever since I left, stopped playing, I hated getting those. It used to be mandatory.
Oh, really?
Like after practice, if you had to sign up, we would have to do it. So like, I do the, what do you call it? The, The one you stand up in.
The cryo.
Cryo. I've done that several times.
Yeah.
I ain't got in a cold tub in years.
Really? Yeah. The company, there's a Vibe Wellness. They opened up part of our building. They're separate from us. They were asking if anyone's interested in cryo.
Yeah.
So
a lot of people would be.
I was, my buddy listens to this podcast and, he caught himself on fire a few years ago.
Like literally?
Yeah. It's a long story. But, he owns a crab company, fishing company, and they have this huge trailer full of ice. And so for the past 15 years after work, they would jump into a cold tub every single day. And, he blew himself up and, he blew himself up with like a big grill thing and it exploded and he got third degree burns all over his body. And they were worried they were going to have to do skin grafts all over. Wow. And his skin somehow healed from all that really well. And he credits a lot of it to the cold tub, being doing this cold tub every day for several years. So,
do you do it every day?
I don't do it every day now. I've just gotten... it's just too many things have gotten in the way and that I have a cold tub out front. It takes a little bit to keep it cold. You have to run the machine. It pulls a lot of power. So I just now turn it on for the weekends. Okay. Like Sundays will be my recovery day where I just do a cold tub, sauna, that stuff.
I do need to get back into it.
In wintertime, we got the beach right down here. I go jump in the water all the time. Yeah. That's a good recovery. Right? One year we did, me and a buddy did we did 24 days straight in February.
The jump in the water?
Jump in the ocean.
You go down there or just right back here?
Oh, no, I go down to the ocean. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. So we got July 4th. We'll come up for July 4th. Anyone's welcome. And then August 2nd, we're going to do High Rocks PFT. Yeah, it's free for anyone. It's 8 to 10. AM. We're going to run people in waves. I should have all the equipment. I think we'll try to do it outside.
Yeah.
I got a little course around. We measured everything. So we got, it's a 1,000 meter run, 50 burpee,
broad jump, 100,
stationary lunges.
Yeah.
And then, 1,000 meter row, 30 hand release pushups,
wall ball,
and then 100 wall ball.
Yeah.
That was a beast.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Today I did it. Like I said, I did a little different, but I think after doing it with you, it felt a lot better. I finished today. I did it in 26 minutes.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't remember the cutoff. I think that, I don't know if you ever, looked in High Rocks at all, but, fitness events, and there's elite, open, and beginner. And so depending on where you finish, you'll get a bronze, silver, gold patch. So it's kind of, it determines where you would sign up for if you did a High Rocks event. I think you're right there in the open.
Well, you said that was half of it, wasn't it?
It's pretty much, yeah. I mean, a real High Rocks event is 8K, but it's a 1K run, but between different, eight different exercises.
Probably 100 meters or something.
Yeah, 1,000 meter run in between each of the exercises.
Oh, so how we did it, but it's going to be a Every time you finish, go do 1,000.
Yeah, kind of like DECA. Did you do the mile?
Yeah, I did a mile.
You guys did DECA mile? No, you guys just did strong.
We did
it. But you trained for it.
We did, yeah. We trained for it every week.
Yeah.
We just did the partner, but I've done it because we used to do it every week.
Yeah, because DECA fit events are like that. It's all those exercises, and it's a 500 meter run in between each. And it's a...
Yeah, we would like run down to the stop sign, which probably was like 800-700 meters, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Like down at the stop sign and back.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Like we would do that after each exercise.
Yeah, that's a good distance right there.
Because we didn't know what to expect.
Yeah. And so we got another DECA coming up September 6th, too. So we got some events on the calendar. Back.
Yeah, I told Bruce today about the.
Did you?
Ready.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, about
you better be ready.
Yeah, I mean, you know him.
He stays ready.
Yeah, like year round.
Yeah. And then we're talking to Keyshawn. Keyshawn was on the podcast last week.
Okay.
And we're talking about a new date for our community.
Yeah, I'm ready to do another one.
We haven't figured out when yet, but anyone's welcome to 4th of July. Anyone's welcome to August 2nd. So
4th of July is going to be a good one. Like one thing I do like that we bring in two different gyms together, different community, different backgrounds, and we all under one roof and we all doing the same thing and, you know, forming different bonds like me and Jake. I mean, we met years ago, but now like, we kind of formed a bond. Like I go to his gym, he come over and I feel like that's what it should be about. I feel like it's too much in whatever industry, it's too much like people like, all right, they do the same thing I'm doing. It's like, why can't we all work together?
Yeah. And someone asked me today, they were talking about you and Emily. I don't know if you, do you know Emily Throckmorton? She's a Kaizen athletic. They're a block away from our gym. Yeah. Okay. She's doing some cool stuff. Okay. You know, I mean, she's got Rob Wilson's coming in, Check Engine Light. She's doing she's speaking all over the country. She's doing cool stuff. And someone asked me, I said, are you guys competitors? And I was like, yeah, kind of, but I like competition.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, when you're working out with someone and you're working out with someone who's pushing you and making you better,
it
makes everyone do better.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
And it's kind of one of those things where like, we're just even working out with you. We can push each other, and you just kind of get each other better day by day. And so competition is not a bad thing at all, but it doesn't mean, you know, you want anything poorly for the other person. Sure. So,
because it's like, we can't train everybody.
No.
So many people around here. That's why I don't.
There's not enough people working out anyways.
Yeah, it's not enough. So I was just like,
it's a scarcity mindset, right? There's plenty of
people that's not secure in what they do, I feel, that do that.
Yeah, 100%.
And like, I've been learning so much from you. Like, a lot of people wouldn't do that. You've been helping me a lot.
But a lot of people also too, if we're running a race, they want to run against people that they can beat.
Yeah.
Like I want to run against people who are beating me.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and you don't always win, but you get faster.
Yeah.
Right.
You naturally just gonna get faster just by trailing somebody. It's like, all right, I don't want to get too far behind, or next time I'm gonna try to get closer or try to win. It's like it's good competition. Especially being athletes growing up. You was a surfer. I played football. So it was like.
Well, cool. Thanks for joining me. And
this is awesome, man.
Appreciate it. So check Giovanni out. Come see us July 4th.
July 4th, 9 a.m. We'll be at Warren's Gym.
Okay, that's it for today. Thank you all for joining us on today's journey. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and check us out at wearingsgym.com. Also, I would love, love, love to hear your feedback, questions, and any topic that you would like to hear more about. Feel free to email me. My email is jake@wearingsgym.com. See you all next time.